Podcasts, the latest frontier. These are the voyages of the Green Shirt Crew.
Hi!
Hey, everybody.
Guys, please.
Their continuing mission, to watch the next generation for the first time.
The second, actually.
Third.
To seek out old mistakes.
Hey.
And continuity errors.
Guys, stop it right now.
To boldly go where millions of fans have gone before. This week's episode, A Matter of Honor.
So I did experience a first for myself the other day, a rite of passage, perhaps you could call it. Maybe if I were a robber baron, because I allowed another man to shave me for the first time.
What?
My face specifically, I should be clear. Huh. Yeah, it was an old work buddy of mine. I guess he's going to salon school. And he had sent out a message saying he needed, models to work on. And I was like, sure, free haircut. I'm down. So I show up. But it turns out he's not cleared to do haircuts yet. It was just washing and shaving. I would think cutting hair would come before shaving a face, but shows what I know.
Was it a straight razor?
It was not. He made sure to point out it was not a straight razor, no. But the other thing was, so he was like knuckles deep washing my hair. So I was like, oh, so how many have you done so far? Yep, I was his first also.
All right.
So we were both a little nervous going into the shaving, and sure enough, it was fine. It was fine. He did a good job. It wasn't that weird. The weirdest part was like when he did the hot towel and did the circle to wrap around my face, just because I'd only seen that in like Downton Abbey type period pieces. So I just had like a strong urge to discuss, railroad acquisitions with him or something.
That's funny. It reminds me of a story of mine. So I'm an occupational therapist, and we have to work with patients on all of their self-care. And for men, if you've had a stroke or something, I have to kind of reteach people how to shave. And sometimes I shave men. And I've learned how to do it. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard to really facilitate that. But then I was talking to this occupational therapy assistant who's a man who's had 20 years of experience. And he's like, I've still never learned how to tie a ponytail. Are you fucking kidding me? I mean, a ponytail is a million times easier than shaving a person's face. Sure. And I learned how to do that. You could do it two times and you'd know how to tie a fucking ponytail. I mean, come on, guy. I think that's just laziness. 20 years, you don't know how to tie a ponytail for a woman?
I wouldn't know where to begin.
Come on.
I mean, I'd know where to begin with the hair. But
yeah.
I mean, if I had a scrunchie, I could do it.
Oh, yeah.
Why is a scrunchie different than a regular rubber band or something? Oh, you know how to tie a rubber band around your finger.
Yeah, okay. I thought you meant putting an actual knot in the hair.
No, a ponytail.
Oh, yeah, anyone can do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I could do that.
not like talking rocket science here, people.
I just never thought about how to do it. It's never come up. I just got my hair cut this morning, and I think I'm still kind of prefer a female hairstylist for some reason. It's like a problem with me. I have the last several times have been men, and it's fine. But for some reason, I'm always like, if I walk in and there's a man and a woman, I'm always like, I kind of like the woman better. But I don't know why. That's like me in the 50s. I'm not. That's where I'm not woke enough.
Yeah. You're actually more woke because in the 50s, guys would go to barber shops and have dudes cut their hair. Yeah. So. Yeah.
You can spin it either way.
Yeah.
Well, howdy, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Green Shirt. I don't know why I'm talking like this, because it's got nothing to do with the rest of my intro.
We were talking about the 1950s.
There we go. That's why. And the South was...
Yeah, sure. That represents the 1950s.
Well, I have great geek shame upon me, because I have never watched The Next Generation. Thankfully, with me are some much more noble pop culture warriors. We have the mighty Mad Marcigan.
Yes!
And the viral. Viral?
Viral.
The viral. Robomir.
Hey!
See, it's Boromir. Robomir. But I switched the first three letters. It's pretty clever.
It's more
clever than it sounds.
Shame on you for having never seen this show when you could be a guy who watched it and forgot everything about it.
At least you watched it.
Well.
Well, this week we watched A Matter of Honor, and we are just dick deep in Klingons this episode.
Yay.
It's a good one.
It is a good one.
Dick deep.
Yeah. That's
how deep.
6 to 8 inches deep.
Okay.
3 to 4 inches deep.
It's like, okay, we got Klingons. We got to have a lot of dicks.
That's right. But, for as much just raw emotion as this episode has. And there's a lot. We run the gamut of emotions in this episode. The beginning, like the first 3 minutes, is like the most sterile, procedural, jargon-filled 3 minutes of The Next Generation we've seen so far.
Yeah, they talk a lot about Starbase 179.
That's right.
I thought they said it, I actually counted it, I thought it was more than four, but it was four, about 30 seconds. Starbase 179. Starbase 179.
Mm-hmm. And then they don't really do anything but pick up replacements at Starbase 179.
Yeah, apparently they're getting rid of some people on Enterprise. Picard is just tired of looking at their faces. Get them off the ship. I wonder if it would be funny if Picard had nicknames for everyone, sort of like how Bush used to for his reporters in the reporter pool. Like, you, eyebrows, get over here. And love handles. Pointy ears. Sir, there are like 24 Vulcans on the ship. Pointy ears does not narrow it. You've got the pointy ears. Shut up.
This opening is so sterile that on my... I watched it. I watched the whole episode. And then a week later, on my rewatch, I was like, is this the right episode?
Right?
I don't remember this opening. It was totally forgettable.
But then they start talking about this exchange program of different races. If you're from a different race, you can come to the Federation ships, or Federation officers can go to another ship. What?
Because it's going to bring up the whole, like, the difference between Starfleet and Federation, I think, conversation, which never goes well for us. Because obviously there's Benzites in Starfleet.
Right.
But this guy, Mordon...
Mendon.
I'm guessing he's not part, like, they're part of the Federation, the Benzites, but he must not be part of Starfleet.
He works on a
Benzite ship.
On a Benzite
not
ship.
Not a Starfleet ship.
Right.
Yeah.
Not a Federation
Which has
ship.
Different, apparently different
But other Benzites are joining Starfleet. Like, Wesley's little buddy who...
Sure, I know. I knew we were going to have this conversation, because he even shows up with a Starfleet uniform.
Yeah.
And so that's really confusing, because he's from the exchange program, but they made him wear the uniform, but Riker doesn't have to wear Klingon uniform?
Ooh, Riker, come on. You put on that blouse and earring, like at a drop of a hat on Angel One.
I would have loved to see him with that kiss
outfit.
I know.
I kept waiting. I kept waiting. Like every scene time we cut back to the Klingon ship, I was like, now he's going to be wearing it.
That would have been so awesome.
That didn't occur to me. That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
He could, or even just if he dressed up. How he, like, totally inappropriately, like, yeah. Totally got it wrong.
He's like, so the sash goes left to right. No, right.
He shows up with that really cheesy gun that they had in the prison in the last Worf episode.
Yeah. So how many tribbles do I stuff down my codpiece? 7? Oh.
They wore, like, tribble pelts.
I've killed 18 tribbles. Honor me. But yeah, speaking of the two Benzites, Wesley has a little awkward moment.
Mordok, what are you doing here? You couldn't have graduated the academy already.
I am not Mordok. I am Mendon. Ensign Mendon from the planet Benzar.
Sorry. It's a friend of mine. You look just like him.
We are from the same geostructure. Naturally, we look alike.
How do you tell each other apart?
We just do.
Yeah, we're people.
Racist.
Okay. No, but to be fair to Wesley, it's the exact same goddamn actor. So he does look exactly like his buddy, just like with a different...
No, setup. That's what's so funny is I did read that the actor who played Mendon was super happy because he thought they brought him back for some reason that he was like a good actor. But then he realized that they had put all this money and effort into making his mask and it fit only him. So that's why they brought him back.
Yeah.
Wow. That's it?
I mean, he is a good actor, and he's good at being a Benzite.
Make him the same character if you're going to have this little continuity moment anyway.
Because wasn't he the one that ended up in Starfleet?
Yeah. I mean, I know like they couldn't use him here because it does have to be an exchange officer. But yeah, save him for another time.
Or just change his color of the skin a little bit and like do some, like have more tendrils. Like that's not very hard to do. Make him look a little different so you don't have to have this stupid, awkward conversation.
Right.
That actor in question, by the way, is John Putch.
Uh-huh.
He started back in 73 as a Boy Scout in All in the Family. And he was in Jaws 3D.
Ooh.
He was,
who was he in Jaws 3D?
Sean Brody. So he,
He was one of the brothers. Wow.
Yeah. He's got quite a filmography. A little Love Boat, little Family Ties, and on and on and on. He was in Generations as a journalist.
Oh.
Yeah, he's all over the place.
Putch?
John Putch.
John
Putch. Putch.
They sent him to indoctrination, which seemed like a weird word to use here.
Yeah.
Did they actually say indoctrination?
They use it twice.
Yeah.
And I mean, technically it's applicable, but it definitely has like a use most people use that isn't positive. No. Maybe it's a military thing. Maybe they use it in the military.
Mm.
They should have said orientation.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the opposite of indoctrination, right? It's supposed to be a sharing of ideas. But then Riker gets called somewhere. Where does he get called to?
The phaser range?
The phaser range! Yes,
phaser range.
I wonder if this phaser range is like right next door to Picard's fencing dojo? Whatever a fencing place is called, I don't know.
I just assumed it was on the holodeck or something. Why don't they just do it all on the holodeck?
I was thinking, so I went down like a weird rabbit hole with thinking about this, because I was like, yeah, what we thought, why wasn't the fencing thing into the holodeck? Why isn't the phaser range in the holodeck? Then I thought, why do they have rooms that aren't holodecks? Why isn't the ship a holodeck?
This isn't a holodeck episode, but whenever we talk about the holodeck and have questions about it, I think we should everybody gets one minute to just say everything, all the questions they have about the holodeck.
Well, I was going to say, because I was like, why, like, your room could be a holodeck, and then you could just change it to whatever you want, whenever you want. Like,
you got your answer. It's just too much power to run the holodeck constantly.
But they don't have these resource problems,
do
they?
Yeah, they do.
Okay,
I guess. Voyager, and you'll learn all about
the resource.
Well,
then maybe they should
problems.
Use the holodeck to send the students on a skiing expedition, then. or for Riker to go listen to jazz. Like, if it takes up that much power.
Back to the phaser range.
The holodeck's not even in this episode. It's pissing me off.
It's really stupid, though. It's like a bunch of little colored dots.
I disagree.
And they were, like, just casually, like, pointing their phasers and shooting.
There's nothing casual about it.
You remember it? It looked like Pong from the old Atari. It was like,
space Pong.
Ding, ding, ding.
I was trying to figure out, because it wasn't one color that they had to shoot, because they were shooting different colors.
Yeah.
I guess it was just the ones that suddenly started making that noise. I don't know.
What do you think?
I thought it was amazing. I didn't... I thought it was great. I wanted to do it. I wanted to play it. I didn't think it was casual. I think they were intensely focused.
Oh, they were.
But also having a good conversation. Yeah. I think it was great.
I mean, it was a fun scene. Yeah. But
I'm
just
right
think...
down the middle. I was like, is this the best they could do? But
yes,
it's kind
it was.
Of like, it's so weird. Like, if when he said, meet me in the phaser range, this is not what I expected at all. So at least I was like, well... You surprised me, Star Trek.
That was gonna be like a shooting range, like in a police procedural
yeah,
show.
Yeah, that would
like
Robbie
awesome. Lynn, like little shooting. Cardboard cutouts would be going by.
Yeah, like Hogan's Alley.
Like, Hogan's Alley, exactly. A little dog popping up whenever Riker misses.
I think this is just like another product of the 80s, though. Yeah. I mean, because it is a neat, I like the idea of them actually doing something where they're having a fun conversation and this is a moment for them to bond as first officer and captain, like in ways that aren't just on the bridge.
Yeah.
But
the show's not in the 80s, it's in the future. This is a game of the future.
Pong.
It's not Pong.
I also love how they have different firing styles. Like Picard is all like, he's got his nunchuck hand out, his karate chop hand.
He does.
And he's all tied in. He's very controlled. And Riker's more loosey goosey. He's weaving back and forth.
Yeah, he's got to lift that leg up and over stuff. You know.
I forgot who won. Did they tell us who won?
We don't know, but at the end, like Riker blasts like five just to show how badass he is.
Yeah, so I assume Riker won. Because, I mean, Picard doesn't really need to shoot blasters as often, so.
No.
And do you think there's a GPRA, Galactic Phaser Rifle Association in the future?
I hope so.
Because, like, it made me think of that when I was watching it. It's like, they're really digging this, like, shooting their phasers. And you know there's got to be guys out there that are like, I'm going to keep my phasers! Don't take my phasers away from me!
Yeah, I mean, all I want to see is some sensible phaser control, you know? I mean,
it's a slippery slope, Rob.
Well...
You start like, sensible, and soon everyone's phasers are getting taken away.
You know
away.
What else is a slippery slope? Water slide. And those are wonderful. So,
it's true. Touché. But the reason they're here is Picard's got some questions for Riker.
I don't recall hearing of a Federation officer ever serving on a Klingon vessel.
Oh, no, neither have I.
It might prove to be beneficial.
Well, having Worf on board certainly has been.
Yes, sir.
Has it, though? What has Worf done so far besides get...
This is another one of those things where they say something that you just... I didn't question it until you just now said it, but where you don't have to see it on an episode, on a previous episode, to know that it's just something that they're referring to that we never really saw.
Well, we talked about in that previous episode where Riker and Worf were down doing their calisthenics or whatever. We're like, they just keep telling us how amazing Worf is, but they never give us a chance to see it.
Yeah.
We get a little moment later in this episode, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really great at cock-blocking O'Connor. He's really great. That's
right. He's good at being sent on cock-blocking missions.
Yeah, yeah.
So beneficial. But no, Picard wants to send an officer on their own exchange and possibly to this Klingon ship in the nearby area. No one's ever been on a Klingon ship. This could be very useful and educational. This whole thing seems extremely slapdash for sending a Starfleet officer for the first time ever to a Klingon ship. Like, it doesn't even sound like they've talked to the Klingons yet. Yeah. Like, after this, Picard was just like, hey, you want us to send some white guy over? Okay, here he comes. He's got a beard. You'll recognize him.
Yeah, was this the Klingon
vessel? What does that being white have to do with it?
I don't know. I mean, human, but, you know.
Yeah. Right.
In the Star Trek universe, human is white. Equitable to white now.
Oh, okay. Boy.
Yeah.
You and Wesley. Default human, white man.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So this is the Klingon vessel. Pach? Pog?
Pog.
The Pach.
The Pach.
It would be cleaner if it was just Pach.
Yeah.
But they keep saying, the Klingon vessel, the Pach.
Okay, the Pach.
And when does they talk about assassinating the captain? This is when he's walking down the hall with Worf, is that correct?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To get to, this was sort of like, I thought maybe perhaps foreshadowing, where he's talking to Worf about how the chain of command works on a Klingon ship. And the answer is, the second command assassinates the captain, and that's how
ships he's weak.
Move.
Yeah, which is fine that that's how Klingons work, but like, would everyone have been okay if Riker had been assassinated? Would the Federation really have been like, well, he was on an exchange program and he showed weakness?
Well, I think it's more like physical weakness as well as like mental weakness.
I just thought it
seems
be...
vague enough that the Klingons could have just fucking killed this guy and been like, hey, it's our culture. Don't be a bigot.
Lots of stuff happens.
I mean,
way.
You know, well, I thought it was going to be that Riker was going to have to assassinate the captain.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I was like, oh,
well,
this
and
is...
he gets put in a position where.
Right, he has to find a loophole in order to take over the ship. Yeah. So I thought that was neat foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I love about that hallway scene, too, though, is this is again where they hit home that I've studied Klingon a lot. And he literally has only studied Klingon. Right. He only knows in theory what Klingons do. If I was a Klingon who was. Now the Klingons are allies, at least, with the Federation. I think he's so into the Klingon culture that he would have already traveled there and experienced it a bit, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure. I am curious what his backstory is, like the in-between parts.
I think, I mean, he definitely has more episodes later on where he explores some of that, but I feel like it would have been happened a lot sooner than what they show on the show.
I also, like, just about this exchange, I still am confused. Like, how long was this supposed to be? Was he going to be gone months?
That's not made clear. Yeah.
A year?
Well, why do we have to have those details, though, Cam?
Well, it's just because everyone's acting like this isn't a big deal. Like, I would think if he was going to be gone at least, like, a few months, which would make sense for exchange. Like, him and Picard would have had a little bit more of a, you know, I'm going to miss you, number one.
Well, they knew that they were going on a mission. I kind of just assumed he was going on a mission with the Klingons, and that was it. Because that's how they found him. They're like, they were going on a mission here. And so they knew where he was going.
I assume they were going to rendezvous. They had a set point to rendezvous.
Right.
Back.
I mean, I feel like those details, he's on an exchange program. He'll be back. He'll might call and be like, okay, I'm ready to come back. I mean.
I don't know. It just seems like it should be a long time if you're going to do an exchange and want to get something out of it. But no one's acting like it's a long time. He doesn't even take any bags over or a change of clothes.
Replicators, man.
No toothbrush, nothing.
He was ready to get that Klingon uniform on.
He wanted, I know, but he never did.
He never
did. These exchange programs, I mean, it's not like, it doesn't have to be months. It doesn't have to, it's not a school exchange program.
Also, it's not like Picard gets I was thinking it would be like exchange for exchange, like first officer for first officer, but he loses his first officer.
Well, he gets the Benzite, so I guess it's like in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, but like... You can't replace Riker with an ensign.
Yeah,
so I feel like he knew he was going to be coming back pretty soon.
Maybe
I kind of imagined a week in my mind. I was like,
really?
Okay. Gone like a week.
Okay.
But months would make sense for actually like understanding the culture. But.
Right, that's all I'm saying. So we're back on the bridge with Mindon, speaking of him. And not since Rimmick has a more annoying know-it-all been on the bridge of the Enterprise.
I was less annoyed by Mindon than... I felt like the reactions to Mindon were stronger than... were led to make you feel like he was being really, really...
Yeah, I could see that.
I was like, you guys are kind of overreacting to him just saying like, oh, we could do that better. Like, I didn't find him as smarmy as the rest of the cast seemed to.
He's just kind of one of those annoying people... That's like, I could do that better. I could do that better. And if it was me, I'd just be like, okay, then you do it. Like, and maybe he is right, but it's all in theory, too. Like, it's not like he's like, I've done this before, and it works better, like with Wesley.
Yeah.
But I do think it's funny. My favorite extra Dexter Clay was there, and he's kind of giving that extra a little advice about what he can do with I don't even know what
right,
it was.
Oh, right, does. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I like all the security officers are always just like, give that like taciturn, just shut up and get away from me.
A later
look.
Scene when he's like getting dressed down by the captain, and there's just some random extra, I don't recognize him as one of the common ones standing next to him. But he, on his resume, he could write withering stare guy, because he just keeps looking over at Mindon like, you fucked up, buddy.
forgive my failing brain. Remick was the one that investigated them. Who's the fella that came on board and to improve the ship, and they ended up shooting off into space?
Oh, yeah.
That's the dude who has like the major ship on his shoulder. That's, so, like, yeah. Compared to him, I felt like Mandan was like, he's like, yeah, well, we could. That's pretty cool. We could do better. Fair. Like,
hey, he's just annoying.
But then we get probably the most memorable scene of the episode.
Klingon food.
Klingon food.
Oh, shit.
Delicacies.
This was a great scene. This is a fun one of my favorite scenes of the season.
My only problem with the scene, though, is let's remember that only last year, Riker not only risked his life, not only risked his captain's life, nay, the entire Federation, because he didn't want to eat mealworms.
But he does.
And now he is. No, he didn't eat the mealworms.
That's right. He
opened fire the moment he was presented with mealworms. And now he's like tucking into a second helping of Pippius Claw and Targheart.
Well.
I didn't think about the mealworms.
I think he just knew it was a perfect time to open fire on them, right? It was during
okay,
dinner.
Okay, we'll say that. That was a good time. All right. I don't know. Conveniently, right before he had to drop a mealworm
really
into his mouth.
He's really loving, like... He's
into it.
Yeah, that, I mean, Jonathan Frakes just was magnificent in this episode. Mm-hmm. I really loved
it.
Yeah,
there's some good stuff.
And, again, a Rob Bowman-directed episode, which it really... Every time Rob Bowman, it's a step up when he's directing.
I wonder if, like, they have the phaser range before or after Rob Bowman. Are they like, well, we have a phaser range. We better get Rob Bowman. Or does he come on and be like... Guys, I need to show something other than a corridor, please. Give me a phaser range.
Yeah.
If so, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
What is that?
Ooh. It's a Klingon delicacy. Pippius Claw. This is Heart of Targ. This, of course, is Gog.
Gog?
Yes, serpent worms. Would you like some?
No, thanks.
I do love the idea that Klingons eat the heart of their pets. That seems right.
Well, it's funny to hear it through the headphones because, God, it sounds disgusting when people eat and talk at the same time.
Yeah, but it sells the scene even
it
more.
It sure does.
He's like, ooh,
yeah.
Wolfing it down. And I have a game about Klingon delicacies.
Mm.
I'm going to quick fire some names at you. I'm going to say them all on a Klingon, as best I can in Klingon. You have to guess whether this dish is a Klingon dish or... an Earth dish.
Awesome.
Are you guys
I
ready?
Love it.
As soon as just you can shout out whatever you think, Earth or Klingon.
Okay.
All right. Boreka.
That sounds like an Earth.
I'm
going to
go Earth.
It is Earth. It's a savory serving sized Middle Eastern pastry wrapped in phyllo.
Nice.
Breget Lung.
Klingon.
Yeah, Klingon.
Indeed. It's not a respiratory organ, but a dish of reptilian animals.
You really need to sell the accent. Come on.
Okay. Oh, also, that's often that one's often eaten with grapok sauce.
Ooh.
Cholent.
Ooh.
I don't even know what you said. Earth? That sounds like something you could get at IKEA.
Cholent is an earth dish, a slow-cooked stew traditionally served for Shabbat lunch.
Nice.
Glatzt.
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 Klingon.
Yeah, Klingon.
Good question. Hold on a second. I copied and pasted them all into alphabetical order, forgetting to add them. It is a Klingon dish.
Nice. We're good at this.
It looks like this.
We know authentic.
Ew.
Klingon.
Looks burnt.
Yeah, it looks like a big
pile of double chocolate cookies.
Yeah, collard greens. Halva. Halva.
Earth.
Earth, a Middle Eastern candy made from tahini. Kreplach.
Oh, that's got to be Klingon.
Earth.
It is Earth. Triangle-shaped dumpling, usually filled with meat and served in a chicken soup. Kreplach. Yeah. I think it's maybe
Kreplach.
Mentioned in... something, like a Simpsons joke. I think he's offered Kreplach or Mountain Dew. Or he's like, ew, I'll take the Kreplach. No, that's not really... That's not really the joke. It's something along those lines. Orashka. Orashka.
Klingon?
Earth?
Earth. Cold soup based on kvass or lime milk. Racht.
Klingon.
That sounds Klingon.
It is. It's a big bowl of live worms.
That's what gach is.
Yeah, I know. It's true. Rakhtagino. Rakhtagino.
That's Earth.
Rakhtagino?
Rakhtagino.
Klingon.
Klingon, rare Klingon food stuff that humans enjoy, probably because it's a coffee-like beverage. Rugalak. Rugalak.
Earth.
Earth.
Yes, cookie usually made with a cream cheese dough and twisted with cinnamon or chocolate. Sabich. Sabich.
Earth?
Yeah, Earth?
Yes, a Iraqi Jewish sandwich containing fried eggplant.
It sounded like you said sandwich.
it is a sandwich, but it's also it's called sabich, and it is a sandwich. Shashik. Shashlik.
Klingon?
I'm going with Marcy Klingon.
It's Earth, form of shish kebab, marinated meat grilled on a skewer from the Soviet Union. Two more. Ucha.
Klingon.
Klingon?
Earth.
Diamond Earth. Warm, I said Earth.
Warm,
it's off.
Warm, watery fish dish. Ukha. 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 Zilmkach.
Earth.
I'm going to just do opposite of you. Klingon.
It's Klingon.
So yeah! I didn't think they had Z's in their language.
It is a fruit that looks like this. That's weird. They have so many pictures of the dishes.
They must be from the show.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Looks like that's cool.
Actually, they're from my Klingon theme party, dinner party last week.
Good news.
Whoa,
you both win.
That'd be awesome.
You both win. I have no idea who scored.
I think Cam won by like one.
I think you.
I should have had you guys.
Maybe
tied.
We tied. I think we tied.
Okay, yeah. Sounds good.
Everyone wins.
So this always reminds me, though, when I watch stuff like this, that I would never be able to last in like a show like Fear Factor, because going on a Klingon ship is like experiencing Fear Factor, the show, because you have to eat shit that's disgusting.
Possibly literal.
And, yeah. And, like, do crazy stuff that you never do, like get in fights or, like, jump off stuff and show your bravery, like, physically. And, no, I'm not doing crazy stuff. And I definitely, like, I don't know if I've talked about this before, probably, but I hate mouth stuff. Like, at work, I could never be a speech therapist because they always deal with, like, you know, helping people swallow. And anytime I help someone with dentures, I'm just like, this is the one thing that made me want to puke. Because there's like food particles and gross stuff in them. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I don't think I'd be able to make it on a Klingon ship. Oh. What about you guys?
I would throw up. I would try to eat those foods and I would just throw up. And they'd make fun of me. And then I'd get sad.
I mean, I'm sure I would. I'm not alpha enough at all to be on a Klingon ship.
I kind of think I could bluff. Like, I could do maybe some of the physical stuff if I was, like, skilled in fighting. But, like...
You know, I'd be, like, one of the female's food. Little, like, sex dolls, like, locked in her room. That, I might be able to survive if I could, like, work my way into that angle.
Mm-hmm. Cuck Harrison. Sorry.
I never heard that laugh from Rob before. That's a special laugh.
Sorry. That word has never been set well with me at all.
Oh, funny.
Can we talk real quickly when Picard joins the
the
dinner conversation? And he says, oh, I've heard about eating a feast before a transfer. And I've done it dozens of times, he says, I think. But I was really surprised to hear that he's done a feast before a transfer. That's a thing. And that thing. Picard's done it so many times.
I guess until he became captain, nobody really liked him very much. Got to make this guy a captain because he keeps getting in the way of the other captains.
And so he joins. And then all three of them do a big no-no. So anyone who watched this episode, do not imitate Riker and Picard and Pulaski, because when the server comes with the food, they all start helping the server take stuff off the tray. No, 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 no. You do not take plates off a server's tray unless you want a bowl of hot soup in your lap.
Yeah, because you've like got it all balanced the right way, right?
Well, it didn't occur to me during this. I wanted to know if this scene is racist, like the scene in Indiana Jones, where they're all disgusted by the food, like by foreign foods, you know? Mm-hmm. If a Klingon were to watch this scene, would he be like, oh, this
well,
is monkey brains?
I don't think, eyeball soup is a real foreign food, so I don't know if that's racist.
Well, these aren't real foreign foods either, these Klingon foods?
Well, these are also not real foreign foods.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's wrong to be, like, disgusted by things that disgust you.
Sure.
I mean, that's a natural, visceral reaction that we have to food. Now, if you're going to go to a Klingon ship and experience it in the culture that it comes from, or if you order it, like Riker did, then the expectation is that you at least eat it, some of it, right?
And Riker seems to be doing the right thing, like, I'm going to prepare myself to eat this
food.
I just wondered, and I didn't really seriously think it was racist, but I wondered if Rob Bowman, in choosing to, like, oh, we're going to show Klingon cuisine, just like when Indiana Jones decided to show foreign cuisine, they're like, let's just make it look super gross, and, like, we'll make it look so weird, and like, oh.
Although, like, when they show the close-ups, it's like, oh, Klingons eat a lot of root vegetables and seafood.
I know, that's what I was thinking. I was like, actually, that looks kind of good.
So then Riker and Worf, I think this is where they talk about the...
This is the transponder scene where he gives him a device to track him. A device that looks like it would fit perfectly up his butt.
Did Worf just give Riker an anal bead?
Yeah. There's only one...
Worf says a Klingon thing?
Keep this safe. Keep this somewhere where they can't find it. It's the size of a...
Your rectum. Yeah. I mean, it is interesting, though, because he does later... The transponder is important to the story. And it is like, where are you pulling this out from? Because none of the uniforms look like they have pockets, really.
Rob just told you.
From his butt.
Yeah.
I assume their sash is a little like, they just put stuff into their little side of the uniform.
I was like, imagine... giggly tonight.
So we finally get over to the Pach, and we see, well, I don't know his name. I'm sure Rob's about to tell us his name.
I believe it's actor Brian Thompson.
Oh, you mean the alien bounty hunter from X-Files?
Is it this fella?
Them, yeah.
He has a funny face.
That's all I recognize him from. He does have a very unique face, and apparently Rob Bowman must have liked him because he brought him in for X-Files.
Oh my god, Cam. I recognize him from, I knew he'd been in so many things. Yeah. And I know you're going to talk about it, but like the ones that I...
Which ones do you know?
It was like Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Charmed. Sure. He was in Lionheart, my favorite Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. Okay. Like,
he probably got his ass kicked by JCVD.
He's in Terminator. He was like one of the thugs in Terminator.
Okay, I think I remember.
I mean,
he is a punk. He plays punk.
I know he's in a lot of stuff.
I was just like... this guy's face is so recognizable.
You could even recognize it through all the Klingon makeup. That's what I was surprised by.
Yeah. Cobra, the Stallone movie. Yep, three Amigos.
He's in Three Amigos?
He's the German's other friend in Three Amigos.
Oh, yeah.
Just a shit ton of stuff.
Generations as Klingon Helm.
Yeah.
Yep, and some Deep Space Nine. And finally, Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Oh, sorry. If only I had the music to play right there.
Mortal Kombat! Put it in
That's
post.
That's not it.
You can never bring that back.
No, you should put it in every episode.
Yeah.
God damn it.
So to prove his worth, Riker quickly has to face Clagg in Mortal Kombat. Well, maybe not Mortal Kombat, but he does have to give him an ass whooping. And together they find out where they store the fireworks in the walls on the Clagg.
Again with the consoles exploding. Just a physical, barely. The guy hits it and it just like sparkles
everywhere.
Like, get the engineer up here.
And then the captain's like, yes, destroy my bridge some more.
Well, and the funny thing is, man, you know, on a Klingon ship, people are going to get tossed around constantly.
Apparently.
So you'd think they'd make the consoles a little sturdier. And again, I'm like, is this Klingon a relative of Worf? Because he just got his ass kicked by a human. Come on.
Right, yeah.
Well, not just any human.
Just
Riker. Fucking Riker.
Well, yeah, but still.
Bill
T.
Riker, Esquire.
He gets him on a surprise attack, but I don't know.
I guess, yeah.
This is me being racist. Was Clagg the one that walked him? It was like, I've never seen a human before? Or was
that was a different guy.
Klingon.
Forgot.
Who was the guy that was like, oh, I've never seen a human before? I thought he was going to play a role later.
Klingon number three.
Okay.
Yeah, he's just the guy that's sitting at the table with him.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys know this, but is there any rhyme or reason to the Klingon ship? Like, what's with the big pistons?
Oh, like in the middle of the...
Yeah.
Like
they look awesome, but do they serve like...
The big like duct that they have to like
go under? I'm digging that Klingon ship, though. I mean,
Seem crowded. The bridge seems crowded.
Exactly.
The feng shui is all off.
They don't need feng shui. They're fucking Klingon.
They got a duct to run to engineering or else they're going to knock themselves out.
Well, that's the test. If they knock themselves, they have all these things to risk knocking yourself out.
Well, let's just get to the cafeteria scene then.
Well, do you want to talk real quick about the captain?
And Mendon.
Oh, yes.
The captain is IMDb, Christopher Collins. I'll go really quickly over his. He was a lot of cartoon voices, like in G.I. Joe, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, Inspector Gadget as Dr. Claw for one episode. Transformers the movie is Starscream / Laserbeak.
Whoa. Starscream, that's a nice one.
The movie Roadhouse as the sharing husband.
Roadhouse, Patrick Swayze.
He's in The Simpsons as Mr. Burns / TV host for four episodes from 89 to 90. Doogie Howser.
Apparently he got fired from a lot of
Rover Dangerfield, roles. The Rodney Dangerfield animation.
Oh, I know that one. I do.
He was a thug in Seinfeld in 92. Little NYPD Blue, and ended his career at 94 with Married with Children in two episodes. And that's my IMDb minute. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, and before we go to the table scene, there's another scene with Mendon before the Klingon ship leaves, where he identifies a unusual organism on the Klingon ship and scans it a whole bunch and chooses... Not to tell the bridge crew about this organism because he starts analyzing it.
My question is, if he's so well versed in all like this, he's just why didn't he look at the Starfleet way of doing things? Like, I don't understand why that's something he didn't learn. Of all the things that he knows and understands, why is this?
Well, because he's so full of himself, he probably completely like spaced out during indoctrination. He didn't listen to any of that. He knows what's best.
What's interesting is to imagine that this is a cultural trait. Mm-hmm. And can you imagine being on a ship full of people who, if there's a problem, like nobody does anything about it until they fully analyze it and have the solution? Like, most people know now that actually having diversity in people and culture and just everything brings better ideas and solutions to problems. And so just to have people who, number one, are genetically completely similar, which is kind of what it sounded like when he was talking about the biosphere.
Race.
Yeah. let's talk about why he looks exactly the same, but also just to not even talk through how to fix a problem. That would... suck. I mean, I feel like it's an evolutionary downgrade.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason you've never heard of the Benzite fleet.
And right.
They're sending everyone over to Starfleet.
Why everybody's like, ugh, Benzites.
Okay, cafeteria scene? I mean, this whole episode exists for this scene.
I have one more thing.
Everything
about
is supporting this.
I want to talk more about Mendon.
Okay, Mendon.
Wait, but now I can't remember what I was going to say about Mendon. So let's move on.
Okay.
Move on from
there's
Mendon.
There's more Mendon time.
I'll interrupt the cafeteria, the good scene, to talk more about Mendon later.
Don't you dare. I was wondering if the Gach, because they present live Gach to Rock. Rock Riker.
Gach to Rock.
Well, because I was going to wonder if the Gach on the Pach is especially good.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Pach Gach.
Sure.
Pach Gach.
Pach Gach.
To the Rach.
Rach. Well, no, it's a great scene, and it made me think of the Skeksis scene where they're eating at the table. Yeah. They're like, all the little things are skittering around on the tables from Dark Crystal. And like, so everybody's like eating really disgustingly. You can
it's a really chomping. Big room with like a ton of Klingons. And then later they cut to a wide shot. It's like three tables pushed close to each other.
Yeah, it's like the dining room in Alien, the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so then they like zoom in on Riker and he's eaten with the best of
holding his own.
And they start teasing him a little bit, and there's some great dialogue that goes on here.
Would you like something easier?
Easier?
Yes. If Klingon food is too strong for you, perhaps we could get one of the females to breastfeed you.
Wait. That's only half of the laughing for that joke.
Yeah.
I cut it off. These guys love that joke.
What a joke.
They love it almost as much as they love the threesome joke later. Threesomes are the height of comedy for Klingons, apparently.
And for me. Breastfeeding jokes and threesome jokes. I was like, I'm with you guys. This is hilarious.
But not only hilarious, but like this threesome joke is the moment they accept Riker.
Yeah.
Like that's what turned them over to him.
Of course it has to be about sex with Riker.
They should have brought these Klingons in instead of Joe Piscopo.
Yeah.
to teach us about humor.
Well, that's what I love about the female Klingons on the ship is they're just like, they're eating it all up like everybody else. They're like, yeah, I'll breastfeed you. Like, get over here.
Yeah. At first I was like, these Klingon women are way too horny. But then I realized they're just the Pach's version of Tasha.
Yeah.
Like, if Tasha were still alive, she'd be all over Mindon.
Well, they're exactly like the
new alien. Yeah.
Well, and they kind of present Klingon women throughout the series as being, like, just as overly aggressive.
Yeah,
and but, like, the men are...
Just aggressive. Yeah.
And so, I like that they're just like, yeah, I take you, big boy. Like, get over here. I'll breastfeed you. Like, I thought it was good that it was, like, all-inclusive, yeah. Just joking yeah. about...
Well, then, but then she's not joking. Riker specifies. Is she like, serious? You better fucking believe it, boyo.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to go sniff each other's fists later.
I love it.
Yeah, see, bringing that back. I remember the Klingon mating ritual.
Yeah.
I thought the women were awesome. I wish there were more than two. I know that they're probably not a society.
Well, we do only see like five of them in the cafeteria, so.
There were more than two in the cafeteria?
I mean, five Klingons. Oh, so there's like two of five.
Oh, yeah,
six.
Yeah, yeah. Their mugging was a little disturbing to me. Like they're licking their lips and all that.
Over the giant mouth appliances all the Klingons have
to wear.
At least
they didn't have, like, later on in the movies where, like, the Klingon women have, like, huge cleavage.
Yeah, they had
armor on. I mean, they're just, like, dicking around with the boys.
Do you think Riker did get it on with her?
He looked a little... That was the one thing he was afraid of on the ship.
I don't know. I couldn't read the expression.
His expression was very kind of like, almost blank. Like he was imagining it and it just blew his mind.
I think it was like...
You know he'd try it. I mean, if he can try that food, he can try a Klingon pussy.
Tastes like Pippius claw.
I got nothing.
Everyone's just like, what have I got?
But then things turn serious.
Gosh, I love all of this.
And your father? My father.
Papa, can you hear me? Papa, can you see? And maybe it's just all the Disney movies I've been watching with my kid. I thought he was going to start singing at this point. As he stands up and walks towards the camera and the music swells. But no, then he just goes on some Klingon monologue about how his father has no honor.
Yeah, and he also has a pretty good line in there about...
He's your father. A Klingon is his work, not his family. That is the way of things.
And then Riker repeats, he's your father. He says the words, he's your father, like... as twice in a row.
But I feel like this is all a really good scene. This is the part where I'm like, well, now Riker, he's getting a little missionary-ish. Well, maybe you should learn to show your emotions.
Yeah, missionary.
Really, Riker, maybe you should not be so judgmental about the Klingon culture that you just immersed yourself
into.
That's
the point of the transfer, though, is to like share each other's, to be a missionary on both sides. He's learning from them.
And I mean, I do like the end because they're like, I wouldn't know how. And he's like, well, until now, I didn't know how to eat. Gah! Live worms! Yum!
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like it's not being racist because he's telling them that there's all kinds of different things about culture.
See, it wouldn't be racist if he was like, you know, this is how we do it in our culture. I do follow my father. You know, I respect my father for being my father. No, he says, maybe you should, which that's what sounded super judgmental to me.
Okay.
But they were open to it. I feel like they were.
Well, then they were very open. So maybe he was just reading the room.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's pretty smart about this
stuff. I mean, this is the beautiful bromance started between Clagg and Riker. And I was like, I love it.
I love the relationship. It would be awesome if Clagg came back. Yeah. Because I love what's going on between them.
He's pretty great.
And what was it where they're like, oh, you're different than I expected. You have a sense of humor. And he's like, I didn't think you guys would either. Like, that kind of dialogue was very natural and real to me. And I was like, this is what Star Trek is about.
Well, just,
you know?
And I mean, Clagg is a good actor, and Riker's doing some of his best in this.
Yeah,
scene.
Absolutely.
And not just because his mouth is full of food.
Yeah.
So we start seeing the Klingons have now noticed that there's this whole eating organism on their ship, too. It's very convenient that both of these organisms have landed where cameras can point at them on the ships. Because there's a lot of the ship where a camera could not point at.
I assume that there's ways to reach cameras on any part.
I mean, they'd have to send a probe out and they just, sure. You know.
I remembered what I was going to say about Mendon, and I don't know if it's worth revisiting.
Probably not.
I'm so used to everything going wrong on the ship, or like they're always being. I just assumed when Mendon showed up that he was there for devious reasons, and that when he was And when the first time he's using the computer, I'm like, is he fucking with the ship?
Get that guy off the bridge!
I just assume, like, I just for some reason always assume.
I just want to see Rob, like, be an officer on the Enterprise who's, like, super skeptical of anyone who walks aboard. Who is this? What's he doing over there?
First off, I want you to get the holodeck off the ship. Secondly, nobody comes on the ship. We build a wall. A wall around the ship. Nobody comes on. It's the only way to keep us safe.
Well, yeah, we haven't learned yet that the organism has been transferred to the Enterprise, though.
I think that's what we find out.
This is what we're finding out now.
Yeah, the Klingons, like, learn of it, and they think, oh my god, the Enterprise scanned our ship over and over again. It must mean that it was a weapon.
I mean, so on one hand, like, they make a good case, and Riker's like, I don't know why they would scan that and not let you know. So, I mean, I see where they're coming at there. At the same time, like, do you think most Klingon captains would have responded this way, or is Captain Klargon, like, just a fucking asshole?
A little both.
Because he is immediately like, we've got to blow up the Enterprise.
Right. Well, I kind of feel like, if this is how the Klingons operate, like, how the hell have we been allies with them for so long?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I think this captain's a little unstable. He's getting weak in the mind, I think.
Yeah.
These are signs of him as, like, making bad decisions and needing to be replaced by...
Okay, that's true, because, like, the other Klingons are like, you know what, I think Riker's kind of making some sense over here.
Yeah, and they didn't try to, like, they didn't try to take over when Riker does, so yeah, they kind of maybe recognized that.
Okay, that's a load off my mind. I was worried the whole Klingon race were this crazy.
I like that I like the foreshadowing when they talk about the assassinating the captain. I thought that there was more foreshadowing when he first gets on the bridge and he says, like, are you going to be loyal? Mm-hmm. Like, how can... And, like, I was like, oh, there's going to be a problem later where he has to decide whether he's loyal to the ship he's on or or the Federation. And that conflict comes up.
Tell me of the surest method of attack against the Enterprise.
I won't.
You must. It is a matter of honor and loyalty to your oath.
I will not surrender the secrets of the Enterprise to you.
If your word is no good, then how can we ever trust Starfleet?
I will not break any vow that I have taken in the past. I have also taken an oath of loyalty to your ship. I will not break that.
They are in conflict!
No, sir, that's they true. Are not!
That's a conflict.
I will obey your orders.
So you're not.
I will serve this ship as first officer. And in an attack against the Enterprise, I will die with this crew, but I will not break my oath of loyalty to Starfleet.
If you had told those secrets about the Enterprise, I would have labeled you a traitor and killed you where you stood.
I just love the end because the captain pulls a total Trump there and, like, claims victory in the face of loss. Oh, yes, that was a test to make sure you were not a traitor. You passed, good job.
And I think it's funny that he will die with them. He will help them attack the Enterprise, but he won't help them attack the Enterprise. Like, I wasn't quite clear on...
Well, he won't tell them how to defeat the Enterprise.
Except that he does later. Tell them, give them tips later.
Well, but that was just to get them closer.
Like, for the transponder.
That was actually him, like, tricking them.
Yeah. I know, but why do they believe him? Like, he was going to kill him where he stood if he gives him any advice on how to take down the Enterprise. Right. And then later, he gives them advice on how to take down the Enterprise.
I guess
they trust him because...
Well, that's because the captain really did want advice. He was just, again, trying to save face in the...
Yeah, I feel like there's also a difference between, like, secrets and also just tactics.
Yeah.
I guess it's fine, like, line. Semantics. It's still going to
end up with the Enterprise getting blown to shit, so which goes against his oath to the Enterprise.
Yeah, but Picard's the captain of the Enterprise.
There's a lot of good stuff here, because on one hand, like, Riker is, and it must just be exhausting to be a human on a Klingon ship, like, I've just got to be, like, super alpha and aggressive the whole time. But, and so one hand, like, I'm sure he's feeling a little stressed, like, I'm in a tough situation. On the other hand, it's probably nothing for him to be like, oh yeah, I'll go down with a ship when the Enterprise attacks us, because he knows the Enterprise isn't going to attack him. Like,
right.
he can say that and be completely honest, because he knows there's no danger.
Is it exhausting for you guys now that I realize that I'm the alpha on this show? which is really sad. With Cameron and his fear of getting shaved, and Marcy and her fear of mouth things. That suddenly I realize I have all the power.
You're the most Klingon of us all!
You guys get real tired trying to keep up with my alpha-ness?
I don't know. Is it tiring for you to know that if you show any signs of weakness, it's my honor-bound duty?
Oh, shit. Don't assassinate me. I'll shave you, Cameron.
I was convinced throughout this whole episode that the captain was just playing Riker the whole time and didn't actually want to attack
Just testing his loyalty.
Mm-hmm. And then it turns out he wasn't.
No,
so,
he was just batshit.
Yeah, he was just crazy. So I was a little disappointed about that because I felt it would have been really cool at the end if the captain came out and was like, I was testing you this whole time, Riker.
It is interesting.
And you passed my test. You're a great human or whatever, you know.
I mean, they could have gotten more into him because they talk a lot about like how the Klingons want to die in battle. And if they don't, there's no honor. And the captain is a little older than everyone. He's getting up there. It would have been interesting if he was like getting to a point where like, I better fucking find someone to fight and kill me.
Death by cop.
Or else I'm going to go retire peacefully. Ew.
He's like suicide by cop, man.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. I mean,
that's not funny, but
no, but it's a thing.
Yeah.
This is a good episode. I very much enjoyed this episode. It could have been better if it had been like a two or a three parter. Like, there's so much more they could have done, like what we were just talking about.
The weakness, they
crammed a lot of really good stuff in real tight.
The weakness to me is this part where Riker tricks him. He says he won't help them defeat the Enterprise, and then he helps them defeat them, and the captain believes him, even though the captain should be like, oh, you're betraying the Enterprise, I'm gonna have to kill you where you stand. And then also Riker takes a big gamble by hoping he grabs the transponder out of his butt. and he does. Like, all these things pay off a little too neatly. Like, his captain just believes him, and then the captain does what he says, even though Riker's clearly setting him up.
Yeah, I figured with the transponder thing, like, either the captain was going to take it, best case scenario, or, like, then he'd just be able to get beamed aboard and be like, look, this is what's going on with these fuckers. They're crazy.
It seemed like Riker knew that the captain was going to take it somehow.
I think that was his plan, for sure. But even, like, plan B, I think, would have worked out. Okay.
But he did it very visibly. Like, he held it out so that the captain would see it, and the captain probably, you know, could have...
It's like, that smells like it's been in your ass for the last 24 hours.
First thing he does is grab it and smell it. Sure.
But meanwhile, on the Enterprise, so Mindon is feeling pretty down in the dumps because he let everyone down. And Wesley, because Troy's not in this episode, I guess Wesley feels like he needs to play counselor, and he goes and talks to him.
Also because he thinks he's the same guy as Mordok.
That'd be funny if you just kept thinking it the whole time. Hey, Mordok! No, I'm not Mordok!
That was the other thing. I thought maybe for a second that Mordok was in, like, undercover. Just pretending to be Mindon. Just for a second.
Well, the funny thing, too, is Wesley, when Mindon came up to him earlier and was giving him advice, was kind of like rolling his eyes and being like, oh, well, get away because you're being annoying. And now he's like, I want to be your friend because my name's Wesley. And I'm like, that's two-faced. Like, I don't really think Wesley is that nice.
I felt like he just felt a kinship with this guy who he feels like he knows because he looks and sounds so much like
the same actor. I think
it's
partly like he's fucked up and, like, you know, faced Picard's disappointment too, so...
I guess so. I guess I don't feel the sincerity of the kindness in the acting, and so it just kind of feels off.
This is probably like a scene that a lot of Wesley haters could point to. I didn't hate it.
No, I didn't either. Wesley is a real cuck. That's for sure. I'm sorry. I don't know why. I'm alpha now. I have high T count, right? With testosterone?
Yes. But he does say something. He's like, you know, I mean, Picard, you know, he doesn't like it when people mess up, but he understands people make mistakes. And I mean, they're like right up their feet from Picard. I just wanted Picard to be like, and Wesley, you tell that blue tinted vapor sucker to get his shit in order, or else I'm going to rip those tentacles off his face and feed him to Worf as a delicacy.
The Benzite, this is where his like inner drama queen really comes out. Yeah. He's like, I've failed and I can never recover from this. And I'm like, come on, Benzite. Like, you make one mistake and you're like, I'm going to commit ritual suicide or death by cop. You know?
Like, suicide.
Picard does say, like, that's a Benzite trait. It's like, they want to please. They're like little house elves. And if they fail someone, they...
But so, like, you got to hang out with the drama queens of the universe where they're either telling you what to do because they think they're better than you, or they're saying, like, my life is over.
Well, that's why they tried to indoctrinate them. And failed.
These all sound like 70s TV commercial, like, buy Mindon. Or Cargon, take me away. Or what, the Benzite? Benzite sounds like a prescription drug. Like, all these names in this episode sound to me like prescription drugs, or like some sort of just nebulous company that owns prescription drugs. Hey, buy Benzite by Mindon.
So yeah, when they do... I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Did you have more?
Nope. Just going to keep saying gibberish words. Clargon. Clag. Pach. You think when we do these...
This is my Pach.
The seventh time I've asked if we're racist. Are we... By doing the Klingon in the Klingon brogue, if we say, if we're like keep trying.
Yes.
It's like when you say croissant instead of croissant.
Yes. We're just playing to Trump space right now. Yes.
Perfect. Build a wall.
If you're sincerely trying to do the accent, then maybe it's not racist, but if you're mocking it, then it is.
I have a lot of questions about Klingon racism.
And you do. I mean, granted, the Klingon race itself is sort of presented as super aggressive, and it's like the only dark-skinned race that we've met so far, and that's like in and of itself sort of a racist take on our own cultural issues that we have with African Americans, but as a species, it's pretty fun to watch.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Except in certain cases, and I know that Alex covered it a little bit last season, but why the Klingon ships are so dark and smoky? Well, we find out as soon as we teleport the captain over into the flat white light of the Enterprise, because holy shit, does that makeup not hold up. It look, and like, because he's pretty cool looking in the captain's chair, but as soon as he's on the Enterprise bridge, it's rough.
Yeah.
I didn't look closely.
It looks like something a Klingon would eat out of a dish. Worf finally does something badass. He's the one who reacts and stuns that guy before he starts blasting people.
That's the other big risk that Riker took by having the captain beamed over.
That's true.
It endangered the bridge crew.
He knew Worf would handle him handily.
He assumed it, but that's still kind of a leap. Like, to...
That's true. Yeah, Riker would feel pretty bad if he like he comms over and like half the bridge crew are just blasted all over the consoles. It's just like Wesley with like a look of shock on his face.
Oh shit, I just won the battle for you guys.
Zapped down to skeletons like our chorus.
The Benzites, like only an apparatus is left. The breathing apparatus. Yeah. Well, here's the thing too is the Benzite ends up figuring out how to remove the organism, or Mendon figures out how to remove the organism from
the
hull.
Use his name, please, Marcy. He has a name. He's an individual. So the black guy.
Benzite.
Sorry. So Mendon figures it out, tells the captain, woo, now his like confidence is back and I can do anything, like in Reading Rainbow. And then, so they start broadcasting. This is before the captain gets over to the bridge. And it's like, why in the world? They're like, they're telling us that they have a cure for the organism.
That's
on
a
our
fucking
hall.
Trick. It's a trick. It's a trap.
It's like they're allies. I mean, they're saying, oh, we didn't know about it. We're fixing our hole right now and we can help you. No.
Well, he assumes that they got caught trying to destroy them with a flesh-eating virus or a metal-eating virus. And they're like, oh, well, now they're just trying to like backtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb.
It is dumb, but I like now that we've talked about it that he is losing his mind. And right. So there's real reason for Riker to kind of do this trickeroo.
Which makes me worried that he's reinstated again.
Exactly.
Because now he's just going to continue to make
that Riker
shitty
goes
decisions.
Out of his way to make sure he holds his command.
Right.
It is a nice move by Riker. I do like the end there.
But this captain's now, I would worry if I was this.
He knows that Clagg's there, and Clagg's now second in command. He's going to assassinate that captain any day.
Yeah, Clagg's like, oh, I got this, Riker. Don't you worry about it. So, yeah, they stun the old captain. Mm-hmm. Riker gets on the screen with the card.
He got to be a captain
yeah.
for a couple minutes.
Captain Riker.
Pretty satisfying.
And in that time, he brought the Enterprise to a surrender. So
yeah.
Good job, Riker.
Yeah, it's on his record.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So they send the captain back, and he's all pissed off, and he wants Riker off his ship. And Riker's recognizing that the captain's not looking too good right now because he got tricked. So he's got to allow him to reassert his dominance or else he will be overthrown.
And it's almost like he winks at the captain to, like, go ahead, punch me. Like, he, like, gives him a little, like,
everyone
opening.
In the room knew what was going on.
It's just like they know the posturing. It's a cultural thing, the posturing. So it's like you got to take a hit to make the captain look better, and then everybody will be okay.
And that's all it takes. But the captain makes all these fuck-ups, and it just takes one punch to the face, and everything. Trust
a big punch.
Trust is returned.
He has
by
got one giant welt when he's done.
Oh, yeah.
So then he arrives.
It might have been one of the shortest assignments in the history of Starfleet. Wrong, number one. It's almost the longest. Well done.
What I don't understand. What do you mean? Like it felt the longest? Because it felt to be like 36 minutes. Like,
He means that he almost never returned.
It was almost the longest. It was almost the longest. Oh,
now I get it. Good job, Cam.
Honestly, although it does kind of feel like Picard's got to be right. It's like,
but did he say almost the longest?
Almost. It was almost the longest.
That makes a little more sense.
No, it still doesn't make sense to me, because if he had died, that would have still been the shortest. It would have been an even shorter time abroad.
His assignment still would have ended.
Picard just
had to be right.
You're not like on the team forever. But I did like Picard. Even though I thought that line was strange, I liked seeing them back together.
Yeah,
and I liked the Worf and Riker interaction there at the end, too.
I did wish Worf would have had more to do here. I mean, he gets to dress down Mindon a lot, but at the same time, like, he keeps threatening him, and then Mindon keeps fucking up. Like, apparently Worf's threats mean nothing.
Mendon's just that big of a fuck up. Where intimidation doesn't make him work better. My last note was not enough Worf. And I would have liked to see the daddy issues resolved at the.
That would have been nice.
In fact, now I want to see a spinoff of the other ship.
Like, does Clegg come back? Or does he just come back as another character?
I think he comes back as multiple other types of characters, but not Clegg.
That's too bad,
They could have had a whole series based on the Pach, the Star Trek Pach.
Well, we've got more Picard adventures coming out.
That'd be a great Star Trek.
They should do a Klingon
show. Different race.
Yeah, although I would worry, I worry about anything that's all alphas. Like, it would be hard. But, then, I don't know if this is worth talking about. There's this, you know, the Green Lantern comic book series?
Sure.
There are Red Lanterns that are based on rage. So Green Lanterns are powered by willpower. Yeah. And there's all the different colors of the spectrum. There's an orange one that's greed, and there's a Red Lantern core as well of lanterns powered by rage.
Lanterns.
There's like a comic book series that just focused on that. I'm like, do I really want to read a comic where it's just these really angry guys like always yelling at each other? But having watched this episode, I realized, and like that comic book also, they managed to find humor. It's not just like a bunch of angry people being super serious. Like, I would watch a series. It would be hard to make it, to juggle it with just not being a bunch of assholes on a ship. But as we learn, they have a sense of humor. So
there you go.
Right. I mean, there is more depth to Klingons, as Worf's shown that there's the honor aspect of it, not just the rage aspect. And I think Worf's on the more side of the philosophical honor part of it. And other Klingons are more on the like, alpha is power kind of.
Yeah, they're not homogenous.
Yeah.
They'd be different personalities.
Exactly. And like, they do care about family in just a different way. It's culturally different. And it would be interesting to actually delve into it, as opposed to having just these flat characters that... And we saw that they're not just flat characters in this episode. And that's caricatures, I guess, is what I mean.
No, I agree. I'd give it a chance. I'm surprised they haven't done it yet.
Do you think Riker gave back to try to give Worf back the... transponder, and Worf's like, I know what that's been. You keep that, son.
I'll always know where you are. All right, so I'm going to do my ensign's log because it's best here at the end.
Oh, okay.
Figures I get stuck at the station next to Mendon. The guy will not stop talking about how he saved the Enterprise by figuring out you can use a tunneling neutrino beam to remove the organism. At least he's distracting Wesley. I still don't know why they allow that kid on the bridge. I had to go through years of training to stand at one of these consoles, and his mother was once the head of medical, and somehow he still sits at the helm. Nepotism is alive and real in the Alpha Quadrant. I'm so glad I'm over my crush on Riker. His breath has really started to stink since he did that exchange program on the Pah.
That might be the best Ensign Mercy log yet. I'm interested to see where her career goes.
Can't wait. Would you guys like to rate this episode?
Let's do it.
Since we know that threesomes are the pinnacle of humor, I wondered how many Klingons, if you want to have a threesome with a Klingon threesome, a foursome, a fivesome, up to a tensome. Oh. How many Klingon women? And of course, the higher you go, the more likely you are to have your dick ripped off.
Well, I am equal opportunity male and Klingon orgy sessions.
I'm going to take on 8 Klingon females at
once.
Ooh,
very nice.
16 breastfeedings.
Wow.
I'm going to take on 8 male and female Klingons as well this time around.
I was thinking 8 as well.
Oh!
Why did we go? What was it that brought it down from a 9 or a 10, though? What do you, like?
I think things could have been a little more developed. Had it been a two-parter, I think it could have gotten there.
Yeah, a little more. I would have liked to see Riker on that ship for
longer.
Maybe an entire hour.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then things wrapping up a little too Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah.
Just like the captain happening to, you know, everything happening to work out perfectly. That's the way it had to be, but yeah, two-parter would have been pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this episode did also a good job of having an A-B plot that intermixed and weren't so separate from each other. Like, the exchange program, you're following Mendon and you're following Riker.
Mendon's the reason things got fucked up.
Yeah, exactly.
You're telling me this wasn't two scripts that they had to put together?
Yeah!
Whoa!
What? Yeah, you got Rob Bowman, you got some great, like, shots, like, visuals.
The phaser range.
The phaser range. So
that's add 3 points right there.
Well, the eating scenes, like, the actual, like, conversations that are fun to listen to and aren't just all, like science speak, you know? They only had, like, one moment with Mendon where he's like talking gobbledygook, you know.
Well, the opening, but it's almost like that doesn't exist because it's from.
And it all started from Starbase 179. It all started when we went there.
No, I
if
really
that was this episode,
this
I don't know. Maybe it was another episode. I don't remember.
Well, come on to our social media and let us know what you thought about these Klingons. www.facebook.com/greenshirt is where you can talk to us there. Otherwise, we're at greenshirt87 on Twitter. Please also come by iTunes and throw us a five-way with a Klingon.
Yeah.
Or a review.
That's you can listen nice on Spotify, too. I was just testing the Alexa today to see if I can listen to the most recent.
I did just add us to a whole bunch of other podcast services. Ooh. So, yeah, you can find us on... you can say, hey, Google, play Green Shirt Podcast, and we should pop up, I think.
Yeah, so listen up.
All right, Cam. So the next episode is called The Measure of a Man.
Okay, Cameron, don't make a dick-sized joke.
Do it.
Actually, I'm going to go a different way because I am a man who cannot measure. My wife, Millie, makes fun of me because, like, when I make macaroni and cheese, which I make a lot... Every time I have to read the instructions and get out the measuring cup and, like, measure out the milk and the butter. And she makes fun of me, A, for not remembering how much, and B, like, always having to have the cup. I cannot eyeball it. Huh. So I think what's going to happen is the replicator is going to break down, and all these people who've never cooked a day in their life, like, are suddenly in the Enterprise kitchen trying to bake up some pancakes, and it does not go well.
That's probably right.
That sounds good.
That's probably right.
I hope that this generic title, Measure of a Man, means that the episode is going to be good, like the generic title from this week, Matter of Honor.
Yeah.
They're both titles that mean kind of nothing to me.
Yeah.
That's true. That is true. All right.
Bye.
See ya.
Bach.
Gach?